creatively bless us back. And we're so grateful for that. And we entrust you in that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Phil, are you coming up by yourself right now? Is Melinda coming up too? Or is that later tonight? Okay. Well, come on up, and Phil, and let me give you some space here. So I'm so glad that when I came back to Kentucky 7 years ago, that Living Waters, Joel and Carol League had already developed a relationship with Phil and Melinda Wynn. And then I was able to just quickly get into a friendship and in a kindred spirit with them and their ministry. Melinda ministers as well, as you'll see tonight. She just came back from a women's retreat that she was ministering. We've had her for women's retreats in the past year as well. And Phil is well tied in to spiritual leaders and prophetic voices in our state and beyond. And so we're just fortunate to have him here. They've actually aren't pastoring anymore in the sense that they're traveling. More of their time now is dedicated to traveling ministry. So the Lord bless you in that transition and increase you there. And but this is a day where God is still speaking. And if you like me, I've been more attuned to prophetic voices. And they seem to go in this direction sometimes, another direction, this direction, that direction. And it's hard to discern sometimes because it's so much activity prophetically happening. What is for now? What is for today? What is for you and your family? And so I'm so glad Phil and Melinda are here because they have their ears to the Lord and to prophetic voices. And I trust their perspective, their judgments, their discernments. And I'm so glad that they're here. But more so, I'm glad that they're here. I want to tell you, the Word of God is here today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring Word of God."
Amen.
Do you know you've been born again through a living and enduring Word of God?
Yes.
So during this uncertain time in our nation, our world, you are born with an imperishable, enduring Word of God. You're okay, folks. You're going to be okay. In fact, you're going to be better than okay. You're going to be awesome because you have in you from heaven an enduring Word of God. It goes on and says, "And flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever."
Amen.
And that's another aspect about Phil and Melinda's ministry. It's based on the Word of God. You're going to get Scripture. You're going to get from the Spirit and the Word today and tonight. And it's an enduring Word of God. It's living. So it's going to build you up. It's going to really, in a sense, just propel you that much more in what God has for you at this time. Let's pray over Phil as he gets ready to share. Father, we are just humbled that they are with us this morning and tonight. We are releasing him now and Melinda now, Lord, under the covering of the eldership of Living Waters. But, Lord, to release them in what God has been giving them, what God is giving them, so that we, Lord, can as well join in to, Lord, the clear Word of God and the foundation of your word that is a living, enduring foundation, Lord. So we're so grateful. Anoint him in his words and anoint our ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Stephen. God bless you. Wow. I love this house. Good to see you. Good morning. How is everyone? It's like coming home and seeing family. And I was thinking this morning when I saw Carol, I was just thinking about the years that God's allowed us to do ministry work together. And when the Rileys came back, man, just I've fallen in love with this family. And they're doing such a great job. I just commend you. I exhort you in what God is doing in their life. You know, one of the things that Stephen and I have figured out that our gifts are different, but we fit. You know, we connect. Isn't it beautiful how God connects the gifts of God? Amen. Where I'm weak, he is strong. Maybe where he needs help in an area, maybe I'm strong. But we connect through our giftings. Amen? That's what covenant relationship looks like, is that we understand none of us is a lone ranger, even though we may look like one with these masks on that we wear sometimes. But we need one another. What a time for the body of Christ to understand that we, none of us lives to ourselves, none of us dies to ourselves, as Paul said, but we are members one of another. Amen. It's so good to be with all of my friends here from Living Waters, friends that have traveled from across the state, some of these intercessors and their families that are here. You know, Melinda and I have learned that we can't live without intercessors in our life. We covet the prayers of God's people. We covet your prayers. We have so many times been in moments when we knew that there were men and women of God that were praying for us. Amen? How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Amen? That prayer moves mountains. Prayer changes things. And so it's so important that we connect with and we travel with the body of Christ, and that we let all the gifts of God minister through us and to us. Amen? We need one another. Amen. And so I've been walking with the Lord a lot of years. And Steve and I were talking about that this morning. Just a lot of years of ministry. But I'm learning new things every day. Isn't that important? I'm learning new things every day. And some people, I don't know, thankfully this hasn't been me, but you know, they think they have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. Paul said it like this. He said, not yet attained. This one thing I do, I press forward. Amen. That's what we're doing right now. We're pressing forward and we're learning new things about the Lord, new things about his character. Never forget the one time I'd had a prophetic dream about the creatures who have all those eyes. You know, it talks about in the book of Revelation, where it talks about these creatures that are around the throne. They're crying out that beautiful echo of holy, holy, holy. Amen? And you have the Word of God says that they're full of eyes. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why are they have so many eyes? And the Lord said to me very clearly and quickly, he said, every time they get a new revelation of who I am, they get another set of eyes. And they've just been around the throne just rediscovering new things. Are you discovering new things about your Father? Amen. Are you discovering new things about Jesus? Are you discovering new things about the Holy Spirit? It is so important that we're growing and moving in the things of God. Y'all have to forgive me. You know I'm one of the biggest crybabies in the world, but there's such a heavy, weighty presence of God in this house right now. I mean, he has come to meet with us, and he has filled this place. And you're not here by accident. You're here guided by God. He wrote this day in your book before the foundation of the world. He knew that you would be here today, and that God is moving us forward together as the family of God. Amen? So our ears are open. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Sometimes I get questions. I got to get a tissue, but you know I got to come down here with you guys. That I get questions. They say, you know, boy, this looks dark, or this looks bad, or this is real. You know, how are you reacting to these things that the enemy is doing in the earth? I'm saying, I'm not. The enemy does not set my agenda. Amen. He's not the one that's in charge of my planner. Amen. And we live and breathe by the Word of God. And when we press into His presence and we get His Word, then we understand that it's not a time of turmoil. It's a time of the order of God moving forth. Amen? I keep hearing this phrase. People hear it on the radio again and again and again. In these uncertain times. Have y'all heard that? It's on, you hear on radio and advertise. In these uncertain times. I heard a radio station the other day said, in these uncertain times, there's nothing you can count on, but you can count on this radio station. I thought, wow. I said, I'm telling you, that was a big leap, amen. I was like, if that's what I'm counting on, I'm in trouble, amen, in these uncertain times. But I'm telling you, these are not uncertain times. I'm telling you, we're living right where we're supposed to be. This is the hour, amen. And Jesus declared the acceptable year of the Lord, right? Y'all remember his first sermon as he opens up Isaiah 61 and he begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. Amen. To bring good news. His first thing he said, I'm come to bring good news that the spirit of poverty is broken off of the people of God. Amen. And he's giving downloads. And then he says, he's talking about the acceptable year of the Lord. It's right there in Isaiah 61. Jesus says, this day, this is the day. He said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Wow, did you see that shift? Jesus just declared, not only was Isaiah right, there's coming an acceptable year. But I'm telling you, it's not just a year, it's a day. Amen. We've moved into the day of the Lord because the Word of God says, Galatians chapter 4, that when Jesus came, it was the fullness of time. Wow, get me started. Y'all know how I love to talk about time, because God wants us to understand. He wants us to be like the son of Issachar that understood the times that they were in. Amen. One of my prayers is, Lord, make me aware of the time. What time is it? Amen. In God's timetable, I want to know what's happening in the heavenly realm. I want to know what Jesus, the one that ever liveth to make intercession for us, I want to know what he's saying. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know what he's declaring. I want to come into agreement with that word of the Lord. It is, Stephen, so beautiful what you said. It is a time when we are praying, we're crying out, because Jesus is praying and crying out. And if he lives to make intercession for us, I want to be doing some of that. We understand, as the people of God, as we move towards maturity in the things of God. How many are ready for the body of Christ to grow up? Amen? Hallelujah. You're ready for maturity. The Bible talks a lot about maturity and coming. I love Ephesians chapter 4. Coming to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. I've been talking this year about maturity, about that it's time for the church to have full-grown Jesus inside of us. Amen? That's a vernacular phrase from Eastern Kentucky. But when Paul's crying out, he said, I will travail in prayer again for you. In other words, our prayers are connected with the maturity of the body of Christ. And he said, I will travail in prayer for you until a full-grown Jesus comes back alive in your life. Amen? The Lord asked me an interesting question back in December of 2019. He challenged me. He said, do you want it to take 40 years or 40 days? He said, do you want it to take 40 years or 40 days? Of course, you know where I'm going with. I'll take the 40-day plan, sir. Amen? That 40-year plan, they were doing laps out in the desert and ended up a pile of bones. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without going into where the promises of God were. But what the Lord was saying to me about was maturity. In this year, we got to understand, in the acceptable year of the Lord, in the day of the Lord, he wants his people to come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And he wants us to pray one for another so that Christ be fully formed in us. What they were doing is they were letting people affect the way that they were seeing the world. How many of you know that there's folks out there that want to affect the way that you see the world? In other words, that's what Paul's warning them about. He's saying there's these Judaizers out there and trying to reshape your thinking so that you'll think like they think. And Paul's got an answer for that. He says, be not conformed to this world, amen, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Being washed in the water of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And we wash off our hearing with the Word of God. Man, I love the Word of God.
Y'all love the Word of God? Hallelujah. We love it going in our house. Seven. And we play it through the night. We want the Word of God filling up every crack and crevice in our house. Amen. We listen to the Word of God driving down the road. Aren't you glad you live in the 21st century? You can hear every translation of the Bible all the time, 24/7. And I love the Word of God. I want to let my bridegroom Jesus wash me in the water of the Word, because hearing comes by the Word of God. And when I'm washing myself in the Word of God, Stephen, then I can hear when the Lord wants to speak. Why do you so want to hear what God has to say? Because I don't live by bread alone. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, one day Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, give me a word so that I can come out there where you are. I need something to stand on. I need something to be able to move out onto the top of the water." You know, I discovered this year, I throw in a parenthetical statement right here. What I discovered here, and I told my son Alex about this, is that, I said, I don't know why I didn't realize this before. I said, but you know how Jesus was walking on the water? I'd have several prophetic dreams this year where I see the angels partnering with the people of God. And this is what I noticed several times. They were standing on water. And it just, you know, and I'm seeing these angels standing and not sinking on the water. It just hit I said, Jesus walks on water. Angels can walk on water. And I thought, in fact, one, I saw this army out in the ocean, and these armies of angels were lined up in whatever you call, you know, sections, how they have all these troops lined up in these different divisions. And there was divisions of angels, and Stephen, they went back just out onto the ocean. They were standing there at attention, ready to move, ready to partner with the people of God. Amen. And they were all standing on water. I saw that. I thought, huh, look at that. They stand and walk on water just like Jesus. Amen. And I just want to tell you something. And don't let me leave here this week without sharing this. But, you know, names mean something. How many of you know that? Names mean something. There's power in a name. Amen. Abram had to get a name changed to become Abraham, the father of many nations. Right? Jacob had to get his name changed from deceiver. Jacob means heel catcher or deceiver. He had to get his name changed to become Israel, which is really not his name. That's Jesus' name. Because that means prince that has power with God. And I checked the universe, and there's only one prince that has power with God. Amen? Hallelujah. And it's not some sheep herder named Jacob. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is the Israel. But watch this. When he said, "I'm not letting go until you bless me." He said, "Well, tell me, boy, what's your name?" He said, "I'm Jacob." That means I'm a deceiver. I've been a liar, a cheat. I've been doing it my whole life. He said, "Well, no more. I'm changing your name. Now I'm taking my name and putting it on you." And he says, "Now you're Israel, the prince that has power with God." Hallelujah. Listen, everybody that's been a part of Jacob's family since has been touched by that name. You know what I'm talking about. And so what I want you to understand, that when the Lord began to give the elders and the people were found in this church many years ago, the name of Living Waters, that's not accidental or incidental. It is prophetically who you are. And as I was approaching this, and Steve and I both, we were talking about this day and this weekend and wanting to hear what God was saying, the Lord gave me a very strong word about Living Waters. Fresh bread, fresh word. I'm just waiting on the Holy Spirit when he says, "Now, release that." But what I want you to understand is that it has to do with your prophetic destiny. It is a day when people are just trying to get their sea legs about the prophetic. This is a very prophetic time. I've been saying this all year long. Wow, and Melinda can tell you this is true. Wow, there has been such a prophetic download from the Lord. I am in such a season. It's like any night that I lay down, I might get a strong prophetic dream from the Lord, or this happened. I'm going to share this with you right now. I had a series 3 nights in a row, had 3 strong prophetic dreams from the Lord. And the Lord said, share those with Living Waters, because I want them to see what I'm doing. I want them to hear what I'm doing in the earth. And on the first night, I had this strong dream that there was this big gathering, this huge building, and I knew it was the body of Christ. And it was divided into 5 different sections. And the Lord said, each section represents a part of the fivefold ministry. He said, and there are different sections that were have been birthed into the kingdom under one of those fivefold gifts. And they flow with those type of people. And as I came into the first of those, of the first section of that 5-section building, it was the prophetic section. And there was night and day prayer going on. There was worship and intercession going on before the Lord. And as I came to that, my wife and I have been doing that for over 30 years now. Just God said to us over mid-1980s in Edinburgh, Scotland, as I stood on a mountain praying over the nation of Scotland, the Lord said, this is your destiny for your life. I am raising up the tabernacle of David again in the earth. And I'm raising up a house of prayer, and you will be a part of raising up night and day of prayer again in the earth. So I fit with that. I connect with that, and that's what I was coming into in the dream. And as soon as I came in, there was a young man up ministering, but he stepped down off the platform. And he came right to where I was, and he began to prophesy over me. I told Melinda the next day, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody move in that strong of a prophetic anointing. I mean, I felt like, it felt like what maybe Elijah or, you know what I'm saying, or one of these fiery prophets like John the Baptist. It was just such a strong prophetic anointing. And he began to prophesy over me, and as he did, it was like waves of the glory of God began to move across that place. And I got caught up physically in the waves and began to move into all 5 sections of that huge building. And this wave, every time it would hit a new section, everyone began to manifest the presence and the power of God in every part of the body of Christ. How many of you believe God is big enough to touch every part of the body of Christ? And how many of you believe that he's not just interested in one section, but as many as the Lord our God shall call, amen, to your children and your children's children. And so this wave of God's glory was hitting every, and just being carried along. And I knew God was saying, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And I mean, it carried me through all 5 sections. I ended up in the last section that was a very, let's just say it like this, less demonstrative than I can be sometimes in that section. And I mean, when the presence of God came in that place, everyone began to manifest the manifold presence of God. The gifts of God in full measure were hitting. And as I came out of that dream, the Lord said, he says, this is what I'm doing. The second night, that was the first night I knew that was something I needed to pray into, for God's presence to begin to touch the entire body of Christ. But the second night in that dream, and again, every part of this, and I say this, y'all have heard me say it 100 times, but I'll say it again. Every time God speaks, he said this to me very strong. He said, every word I give to you, I will establish it by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Amen? I knew that God was saying that we this can't just be cavalier. Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, let the word come forth by 2 or 3, then let the rest judge. Am I telling the truth, people of God? Amen? So we have accountability in the body of Christ because the Lord witnesses his word by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. So everything that God gives me, I take immediately to the word of God. And then I wait for God to give me a witness of that before I even release it or speak it. Because Jesus said in John chapter 5, if I only give you a word or a testimony, he said, don't receive it. I'm the only one saying it. Don't receive it. And that's the living word of God who just said that. But Jesus, read it for yourself. John chapter 5, he said, if I only testify of myself, don't believe it. He said, but my Father has testified of me. Amen. John the Baptist testified of me. Amen. the miracles, signs, and wonders that I do testify of me. He was establishing his words by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. So I'm telling you, when God begins to speak, the Bible says in Job 33, God speaks to man now one way, now another, in a dream or a vision of the night. God's been doing that to me since I was 4 years old. And it's something I've had to learn to walk in and to steward, because I live to hear the voice of God. And somebody said, if you'll receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you get a prophet's reward. Somebody said, what's a prophet's reward? The sweetest thing for someone that is releasing the word of God is to be able to hear the voice of God. When I've walked through periods of my life so that God can take me deeper with him, when I can't hear his voice, and he takes me to the wilderness, and I long to hear the voice of God, I press in deeper. I'm telling you, that's the greatest reward that I can get, is for my Father to let me hear his voice. And so I'm telling you, receive the prophetic that way, then you get a prophet's reward. You begin to hear the voice of God. You begin to get the downloads of heaven. Amen? So important. So the second night, as I was entering this dream, I was visiting my ancestors. This is very important. Hear this. Don't want you to miss this. I was visiting ancestors throughout our nation's history. And I was going back in our nation's history, and I was visiting these ancestors, and they were telling me about areas of their life where they messed up, where they had sinned, they had transgressed, where they had broken covenant with God. And they wanted me to pray with them, Clyde. They wanted me to pray with them. They wanted to say, I'm sorry. God, I missed you. God, I didn't obey you. God, I didn't learn of you. And they said, would you pray with me? And I was visiting ancestors throughout our history. Some of you might think, well, you know, what kind of sins were they committing? You know, it amazed me how sensitive God is. You know what? It was things like this. They'd say to me, you know, I knew that God was good, but I didn't tell anybody. And I just kept it to myself. And I just farmed my land. I was standing with a farmer out in the field. It was an old farmer. No, it looked like it was 1800s. He was weeping at his plow. He said, I knew how good he is. I knew how he blessed me. I knew how he caused my crops to grow, but I never told anybody. He said, I'm wrong. And he hung his head and he wept, and I saw his tears hitting the dirt. He said, would you pray with me? I want to be right with God. I told Melinda the dream the next day. You were dealing with generational things. You were dealing with generational things. And I truly was. How many of you believe right now in America is a time when we need to be dealing with generational things in our nation's history? Listen, America is at a precipice. America is at a change point. Does anybody know what I'm saying? America is at a moment of shift. And I'm going to tell you, the people of God, who God says this about us, you are to be salt and light. Am I telling the truth? Salt is an agent of change. My grandmother salt her hams really good before she'd hang them up in the smokehouse. And you know what? Because salt is an aseptic. That means when bacteria is coming, when it reaches that salt line, it backs off. That's why the ham didn't go bad hanging in the smokehouse. I'm telling you, Jesus said, that's what you are. You are to be salt. Now, I need to get you out of the shaker. And I need to get you into the culture. And I need to get you into society. And I need to get you into the government. I need to get you into the schools. I need to get you out there where people are. Because you are salt. You are an agent of change. And you can stop this mess that's trying to spread across the nation. You're salt people. And so we're also light. Light gives people hope. You ever been out? Listen, I've been out in the woods before, lost. My daddy used to take me hunting with him, and we were supposed to get back to the camp. before dark. And how many of you know a young boy out in the woods hunting with his dad? He's going to mess that up just about every time. And I'd find myself over a ridge somewhere. And man, out there in that deep forest, it gets dark. It gets real dark real fast. And I'd be lost like a ball in high weeds. I'd be like, oh my, what's going to happen to me? I'm out here in the middle of the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, this is so sweet as to be standing up on a ridge trying to get my bearings and see that campfire where I knew my dad and my brothers were at in the middle in that dark night. You know, that's what people are looking for from the church. They're lost. They're confused and they're afraid. And God has called the people of God not a part of darkness, but be a part of the light. Amen? In fact, Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah 60. He said, when gross darkness is over the face of the earth, he said, well, I will arise and shine on you. The glory of the Lord will be on your life. And he said, strangers and foreigners will be attracted to that light. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling you, if you don't know it, I don't know, I've said this before here, but God shifted my job. I'm in ministry in the marketplace as well as in the body of Christ. Been doing that for a while. But God shifted me into a job working for the federal agencies where I am dealing with people from all over the globe. And I'm going to tell you, can I just give you something? The Lord said to me one day as I was doing my job, He said, this is a moment of exodus. He said, this is an exodus. People, for the first time in history, people who have stayed in their home cities, home villages, and home countries are getting up and moving somewhere else. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You like that or not like that, don't matter. It's happening. And I'm going to tell you, exodus, you got to know how to act in the midst of exodus. It's not a time to get mad. It's a time to get full of love. You know, in fact, this is the way Isaiah was saying it there in Isaiah 6. He said, they'll come to that light of glory. The nations will come. The Gentiles will come. And not coming empty-handed. They're coming, bringing blessing, bringing wealth, bringing wisdom. Does anybody know what I'm saying? So we as the people of God, instead of, going like this to the exodus that's happening across the earth, people, what God is doing, he's put light on the body of Christ, and people across the globe are being drawn to it so we can bring them the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I telling the truth? This is our hour to shine. I've got to close, but man, there's so much I want to share with you. On the third night, on that second night, I was with these ancestors. On the third night, I told Melinda, I said, I had another strong prophetic dream last night. And as I was walking across the land, Lisa, I was just going from place to place. And I knew there were famous places in America. I saw Niagara Falls. I saw Mount Rushmore. I saw the Mississippi River. I saw the Rocky Mountains. I saw the Great Northwest. And I was praying over the land. I was blessing the land. I was healing the land. Anybody out there? I was praying over the land. I was blessing the land. I was healing the land. As I'm doing this, praying, and I've done that. When I was a young man, God took me on a prayer journey. He said, I want to take you into other nations, and I just want you to go there and pray over the land. I want to heal the land. He said, I need someone to go for me. He said, will you go? I threw a backpack on my back, and I went across the sea, and I traveled from nation to nation. That's why I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, back in the mid-80s. And God would say, He said, drop right here, drop right here. He said, I want to open a well of revival in this nation. He said, right here, right here. I was in France. When I went to France, there were 700 witches and warlocks for every minister of the gospel. There were 700 witches and warlocks in France for every minister of the gospel. And as God, I could feel the heaviness and the darkness of the air when I got there, Carol. And when I walked in, I just began to weep and weep and weep. And God said, I got deep wells of revival in this land. He said, I wish you would help me open them up. I cried so long, and I fell on my face, and I said, God, bring a move of God in France. Heal the land. And so as I'm doing that kind of praying over America, suddenly I hear the audible voice of God in that dream. And this is the way he says it. Kind of takes me by surprise. He said, it's 2020. I heard it so clear. It stopped. I was praying over the land. He said, it's 2020. And then he said, that's 400. He said, that's 400. And when he said that, I'm just waiting. See, I'm not a genius or anything, or a mathematical whiz. They're stories, but I knew what he meant. 20 times 20 is 400. He said, it's 2020. That's 400. And then this came booming so strong, so loud. I could feel it on the inside of me and the outside of me. And he said these words. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites has been filled in this land. The iniquity of the Amorites has been fulfilled in the land. Man, I had to roll out of bed and just lay there and weep under the presence of God. I knew he was giving me an exact quote from Genesis chapter 15, what he spoke to Abraham. When he said, Abraham, I will make you a great nation. And through you, the nations of the earth will be blessed. And your children will be taken into a strange land. And they'll stay there for 400 years. And the reason they will, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet filled. That's what he said. So after I finally get up the floor and collect myself, I knew the Holy Spirit was leading me to go, and I went to our den and I got on the computer and I looked it up and I said, what was happening in America 400 years ago? And as I pulled it up, sure enough, it was a group of people called the Pilgrims getting off the boat at Plymouth Rock. 400 years ago this year, started the ball rolling. Anybody still with me? And 1620, 400 years ago, is when this nation got its start. And I knew enough, Stephen, about the word to understand that what God was saying to Abraham, and some people don't understand this, but what he was saying, saying that I have made a decision to extend mercy to a group of people called the Amorites. And it's going to last 400 years. You know, Moses got kind of in a hurry at 360 years. He tried to lead Israel in then. Y'all remember how that turned out? He ended up killing an Egyptian and having to run off into the desert. For how long? 40 years. Remember what the Lord asked me in 2019? He said, do you want this to be 40 days or 40 years? And so, listen to me. I'm almost done. Are you still with me? Amen. Thank you, Steve. And so, he said, your children will have to park in Egypt for 400 years until this iniquity of the Amorites is filled. Isn't it amazing when Moses was on the mountain, he said, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. The Bible says that God put him in the cleft and he put his hand and he passed before him. And he used 13 words to describe himself to Moses. You can look it up. All 13 of them mean mercy. All 13. You want to know who he is? He's the God of mercy. You know who the Amorites were? Well, the scripture says that they were a wicked people. They were given to witchcraft and idolatry and murder and greed. And they would come upon a people and they not even stop to shake their hand and see if they could make a deal. They would come in the night and kill everybody so they could have the pasture land that was in that place because it looked better than where they just came from. That's who the Amorites were. Somebody might ask this question. They said, who are the people that God would extend mercy for 400 years to these people? I'll tell you who they were. You know where the scripture says in Genesis chapter 10 that the Amorites came out of one of the sons of Cain named Canaan. And that the Amorite people lived in an area, buck your seatbelts, in a land called Ur of the Chaldees. That sound familiar to anybody? These Amorites, they were a nomadic people, but they had their base where they arose out of obscurity was from a place called Ur. Anybody else know anybody from Ur? Yeah. They call him the father of the faithful. They call him a man that believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. A man that even the bondwoman that was cast out of the midst because her son was cursing and bullying Isaac, God said, pulled Abraham close as a friend, and he said, hey, I'll bless him. I'll bless him because of you, because of us. He'll become 12 tribes and a mighty nation, just like your other son. Wow. I don't know. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Could it be that the reason that the Amorites got 400 years was because of one of their sons? The Bible says that one day God leaned in to a man who lived in Ur of the Chaldees and said, let's go. I got another plan for your life. Come and go with me to a place that I will show you. Now, interestingly enough, the very land that God gave Abraham said, wherever you walk, I'm going to give you this land, right? Y'all know the story. That was the land that the Amorites invaded and began to kill and pillage and war and sin. But God says, I've already determined it. 400 years, I'm going to extend mercy to see if they'll turn to me. 400 years. In the 400th year, God sent a man named Moses to lead the children of Israel out. And this is the word that he gave them. I will go before you, and I will drive giants out of the land. Just take me at my word, right? And what they did, instead of doing what God said, they tarried so much so that the Amorites, 40 years after God brought, in other words, 40 years after the 100 years of mercy, the Amorites were still in the land because the children of Israel were out there doing laps in the desert because the Bible says they were testing God. They were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and he said they always do the wrong thing. They are testing me, and I swore. Well, be careful when God starts swearing. I swore they will not enter into my rest. And they died in the wilderness. But it doesn't stop there. And I'm trying to hurry, but listen to this. Once they got into land, Joshua, he said, meditate on my word day and night. He met the captain of the host. The angels were going to go in and help clear the land, right? God was giving them the land. But do you know that all the way from Joshua down till David, the Amorites were still in the land? Why? God had said, after 400 years, I'm going to send you guys in, and you're going to cleanse this mess. Because they have polluted the land with the shedding of innocent blood, with their worship of false idols, with their sinfulness, and they filled up their cup of wrath. I gave them 400 years to repent, and here it is. And yet, they didn't do what God said. Till finally, one young guy, living in the city of Bethlehem, taking care of some sheep, God said to the angels, I'm paraphrasing right now, this is philology, but I believe he said to those angels, he said, come over here, look, here's a guy. I have found a man after my heart. I found him. Amen? And David began to establish a kingdom dynamic. Listen to me, Living Waters. I heard the Lord say this. God found a man that would establish the kingdom. The Bible says that one day the Messiah would come and sit upon the throne of his father David. He began to establish the kingdom. And you know what happened? The kingdom will always overcome an Amorite spirit. And so finally, after all those years, the Amorites were cleansed out of the land. And what God said he would do to Abraham all those years before, it was finally accomplished because David did what God said to do. Now listen to me. I want you to hear this. And I'll close. 400 years ago, when our forefathers landed on Plymouth Rock and they started this thing, how many of you know that an Amorite spirit tried to get into the equation? Instead of this nation came here with a directive from God to establish godly principles and a godly nation that trusted Christ and leaned fully. But how many of you know from our very foundation that Amorite spirit has tried to work? Does anybody believe me when I'm saying that? Has anyone watched the news media lately? Has anyone seen what's going on with the fighting of the government? Has anyone seen the divided nation we have become? Why would we be a divided nation if we are one nation under God? Jesus said a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. But he's looking for people who are called by his name, who will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And he said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. Remember the dream about the redemptive work with all those generations. He said, and I will heal their land. That's God's promise. See, we're in a moment where this is why I'm so excited. I get up every day with a spring in my step. I'm not worried about COVID-19 or 20 or 21 or 22. I'm worried about unrest or civil unrest. I'm not worried about people burning buildings and that. I'm telling you, there is a king that sits upon the throne of his father David. And he's not wringing his hands or pulling his hair out. He is saying, I'm looking for a people who are after my heart that in this hour will hear my voice and rise up and establish the kingdom in the earth. It's time for a kingdom demonstration. It's time for a kingdom expansion. It's time for the people of God to say, we will vanquish the Amorite spirit that is being sown in. How many of you know Jesus said it like this? He said, while a man slept, an enemy came and sowed tares in among his wheat. His servant said, shall we go pluck up the tares? John Paul said, we go pluck up the tares out of... He said, no. Let them grow together. At the end of a cycle, at the end of the age, I got some angels. They're going to help get good from the bad, the wheat from the tares. The thing we're seeing in America right now is that the wheat and the tares are reaching maturity at the same time. Can I just tell you this? Tares look like they're doing their job. What about the wheat? Are we ready for a wheat revival? Are we ready for a great harvest? Amen. Are we ready for a move of God? As the musicians begin to play, I'm going to share this word. We're going to pray in it tonight when we come back. The Lord said, I have placed healing waters in this house. He said, I've placed healing waters in this house. Stephen, I found myself in the middle of praying over this church. Found myself standing by the river. And the river was muddy. And I saw a man come out of this direction. And he went down into the river. And he began to dunk into the river. And he went down 7 times. And he went down 7 times. And I saw him get up on the 7th time. And his skin was like a bank, restored. And the river was running clean. The river was clean, and the man was clean. You know who that man was? He was the leader of the enemy's army. Y'all hear me? He was the leader of the enemy's army. That's what the Lord said to me to speak over Living Waters. He said, I gave them this name. He said, this is a moment when I am breaking open the fountains of the deep. And I am opening the windows of heaven. And they are eating in the middle, but I am looking for that third cord of a 3-stranded cord. And he said, it is a people that out of their bellies will come rivers of living water. Rivers will flow out of them. And it'll heal the sick. It'll raise the dead. It will cleanse the leper. It will cast out demons. Listen, I have spoken. Rise to your feet, please. Rise to your feet. The Lord said, I have spoken my name over this body of believers. And I heard the Lord say, he said, I'm giving you a 7-fold revelation of the living waters that are flowing here. A 7-fold revelation. Intercessors, press in. Press in. Men of God, governmental authority, press in. God says, I'm giving a 7-fold revelation. Every time that he dunked, that's another baptism. Listen, baptism is not a symbolic act, it's a prophetic act. And when you go down, you're saying, I'm going down dead, but I'm coming up alive. I may go down Amorite, but I'm coming out as a man that's after God's own heart. I'm telling you, time to set the captives free. The Lord said, this is a moment of change in America. Is anybody hearing me? We're at a moment. The iniquity of the Amorites has been fulfilled. Can I pray? Grab somebody's hand. That's what the Holy Spirit said. I know we're distancing, but listen. Melinda called me in Bangkok, Thailand, up on a trip, and the next day I was having to go where there was diseased children. They said they might have smallpox, they might have every disease in the world. Melinda called me, she prophesied over me. She said, this is what the Lord said. Said, I saw the woman with the issue of blood climbing through the crowd and getting a hold of Jesus' garment, and said, the Lord said, he's contagious with healing. As soon as she touched, she got healing, went through her. She said, Phil, the Lord said, go on into those camps of children. God says you're contagious with healing. Amen. I want people to get what I got. You understand? Hallelujah. I want them to catch this thing. I want them to be transformed by the power of God. I want them to live and not die. I'm telling you, it's time. Now listen, let's pray this together as a people. Let's pray this together as a people. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the work over this people and this land and this hour, Father. We have a yes in our heart. This is a time when the iniquity cup has been fulfilled, and a kingdom that is built on sin, that is built on death, that is built on greed, that is built on idolatry, that is built on evil, that is built on murder. That kingdom is falling, but there's a greater kingdom that's arising. It's the kingdom of God. It's seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness and all these other things. Feel, Father, we as the people of this place, the people of your name, the people of this hour, we say yes and amen to the promise of God. We are coming into a new land, and it's dripping with the promises of God. Because those who are trusting in chariots, those who are trusting in horses, those who are trusting in their riches or their wisdom, they cannot stand in this hour. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Can you say amen? We will trust in the name of the Lord. And God says, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. I have cleansed these waters. I have cleansed these waters, says the Lord. I have placed the branch. I have put a branch in the water. I have poured the salt in the waters. And these waters are life-giving forever, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.